Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Jillian here. I'm co-hosting The View Thursday, May 23rd. Don't miss it.
Janice.
I don't know why that made me laugh so much. Okay, yes, Jillian.
I'm going to critique you.
Critique me.
How do you feel about that?
Well, this is a show for everybody, but I'm not sure I'm ready for that, but
what comes to mind when you think critique is coming?
Well, I guess I automatically think, oh, I've done something wrong, or I'm not good enough, or I'll never be good enough. Critique, when someone critiques me, or there's always something, oh, what else now? Can't I just be me?
Okay. Gotcha.
Should I keep going?
No. All right. So I think a lot of us really struggle with criticism. And you know something? I've learned to truly invite criticism. I actually like it. I don't want to say criticism. I want to say more critique. Because to me, I'm like, tell me where I'm weak so I can be stronger. Tell me what you see that I can't see because you have that outside perspective and I'm too caught up in the middle of it. I want to be a better mom, a better partner, a better businesswoman. And so I tell my business partner, like, tell me what you think I need to know. Tell me where I'm making mistakes. Like, I'll tell Heidi, like, don't harbor resentment. Tell me what's wrong. Tell me so I can fix it. Like, tell me what the problem is. And I really embrace it. But yet, it's very hard for a lot of people because they feel like, oh my God, I'm never going to be good enough. Oh my God, this is validation that I'm a screw up. But isn't the reality that none of us are ever, quote, good enough? And I think the idea is, couldn't we all continuously grow and evolve? Shouldn't it be coming from that perspective of how do I be better for me?
No, true.
Yeah, couldn't I be? Yeah, true. I guess it's when I think about criticism, I think about it in the eyes of others. Sometimes I don't think that I'm so bad, but then in the eyes of others, oh, they've...
But see, you say so bad. I don't think of it as so bad. And that's the thing. People think, oh, the criticism, they don't have the self-esteem to take on a critique. It's not about you're so bad. It's about where can you be better? Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
Yep.
It's right. Where can you be better? And your attitude about a criticism or a critique, if you want your life to improve, I got to tell you right now, you better embrace it. So one of the things that I wrote about in Unlimited, and I'm going to be talking about on the tour, is what we call target practice or specific practice. And what that means is you don't want to spend hours and hours of your life doing the same things. Practice does not make perfect. That's a misconception. Mm. If you're doing something wrong and you do it over and over and over again, all you're doing is ingraining a bad habit.
True.
That you then subsequently have to break. Let's take golf, for example. Let's say you're making a mistake with a chip shot out of a sand pit onto the green from, I don't know, 25 feet, and you've got this mistake with your hip, but you're practicing, you're practicing, you're practicing, you're practicing. Well, all you're doing is ingraining the mistake or the problem you already have. Mm-hmm. But if you can have somebody say, oh, here's your problem. You're standing wrong. You know, stand like this, and you got to hit like that. I don't know anything about golf, but, you know, stand like this and hit like that, and then now try. So if you're willing to take that feedback on where you're making mistakes, then mm-hmm. you have the ability to truly progress and move on. And I kind of wanted to talk about some of the great things about criticism and why we should embrace it and ask for it. Ask somebody to say, like, hey, where can I do better? Ask your boss. Ask your partner. Ask your kids. Ask your parents. Ask them. And first, it encourages humility, which is really important.
Yeah.
Boy, kids will make you humble. You want to know humble? Kids. Kids will make you humble. And it's important that we stay humble. And I don't want you to mistake humility with a lack of self-worth and self-esteem.
Right. Like, humility does get confused a lot, for sure.
Yeah. Like, here's the difference. I feel worthy, I feel deserving, and I feel capable. But no more so than any other human on the planet. That's humility. Knowing that you're not any better than anyone else. That's humility to me. But feeling deserving and feeling worthy, there's not that we all are. So mm-hmm. there you go.
Yeah.
That's the difference to me, is like, don't think that you're better than another person because of your success or in some area. You're just like, you might be ahead of them in one area of your life, but they might be ahead of you in another. And that's the way life goes. So that's how I see humility, is like, we're all human. We're all in this together. I'm no better than anybody else. I may have information that they don't have, which might be why I've been more successful in one area or another. But then I take the gift that I've been given, of the privileges that I've been given and the opportunities I've been given, and I share that information so someone else can move forward. Because it's like, we all lift each other up. You know, it raises all tides. When one person does well, everyone does well. So anyway, it encourages humility, which is important, and allows you to feel more connected and keeps you grounded. Also, it allows you to improve, as I was just talking about. If you truly want to improve, and when you improve, your life becomes better, richer, deeper, more meaningful. This is the only way, is to allow yourself to be critiqued. So I say embrace it, ask for it, encourage it. And here's the other thing that I love about it. It opens you up to new perspectives. You know what I mean?
No,
we get
true.
Very attached in our opinions of, no, I'm the person who believes this, this, and this. This is my God. This is my religion.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I stand on abortion. This is where I stand on the death penalty. It's fascinating. And yet, I've listened to many different arguments on all of these different issues. And I can honestly tell you, I see both sides of every argument. And the world does not exist We've talked about this a lot. The world does not exist in black or white. The world is a series of shades of gray. The answer is always going to be in the middle. So when you're looking for that truth or that place to find peace, it's in the middle. And you arrive at the middle by listening to somebody else's perspective. Mm. You may not always agree, but you can change your mind, or you can open your mind.
True. No, that's true.
And by allowing your mind to be open and by exploring somebody else's perspective or point of view, again, you open yourself up to another infinity of possibility.
You know where I think, though, where criticism gets a bad rap, though, is because it sometimes has come from someone whose motives aren't for your better being.
Okay.
And so it does get a negative.
And we are going to address that. So what I want you to do is, when you get what we call false criticism, right, then here's the thing. Stop and think about this. Does this resonate with you? Does this ring true? Is this really about you, or is it really about them?
Have you had that experience where you distinguish that?
My dad.
Okay.
Absolutely. You're a spoiled brat. Oh, my God. Are you kidding? The issues that I have. Oh, Jesus. I mean, yes. And he would do it to my brother, and he would do it to me, and he does it to my little sister. And it's like, yeah. But, you know, for me, one of the biggest criticisms I would get from my dad, we all got different things. My brother was lazy. He was Peter Pan. He was unable to take care of himself. That was all my dad's projection onto my brother. With me, I was a spoiled, rotten brat because my dad had money. He had a lot of money. And I grew up in a home. Like, I had a very strange life. It was like we had cars and homes, and I never wanted for anything. And yet I was so ashamed and so guilty about that, that as a kid, I used to lay in bed and think somebody was going to stab me in a parking lot because I had to pay. Like, there was going to have to be payment.
A reckoning.
A reckoning. Exactly. And I was never allowed to ask for anything. Because if I asked for anything, you know, then I was spoiled. And who did I think I was? And it wasn't my money. My dad never gave me. Like, then you'd come home and you'd have a horse, and then he would take it away. So then you'd come home and you wouldn't have one because you didn't use it enough, or you didn't appreciate it enough. It was really twisted. He's a sick dude. With that said, yes, the criticism, I got older and was like, this is not about me. This is about your lack of value. This is about you thinking that people only love you for your money. This is not, I am not spoiled. I am a generous human being. And I will say the great thing about growing up with money, I don't have any fear about money. I never have. It's like easy come, easy go.
Right.
I don't care. The only thing that has made me fear a little bit about money or feel like I need to be more responsible are my kids.
Right.
That's when I'm like, oh, damn it. I got to really, like, maybe I shouldn't be buying this stupid watch or this stupid car. Or like, because what if I used to be like, I don't care. I'll go work at the Red Lobster as a waitress. I don't give a crap. Like, easy come, easy go. And now I'm like, I got to provide a home for my kids. I got to provide an education for my kids. I want my kids to be able to experience the world in ways that are going to make them more worldly.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be able to take my kids on safari in Africa and to China. And like, I want them to see the world. I want them to get a certain education. And then there will come a time where they will go to public school. Not now. Not right now. Now I want to build a foundation for them of values, you know, and then when I feel like that's deeply ensconced, then public school. Then it's like, now here's the world. Learn how to get along in it with the values that we've already put inside of you. But so only now do I have sort of those issues about money. And it comes from responsibility of having more people relying on me. You know, I've got a whole company of people. I've got a ton of employees. You know, I can blow my own money, but I can't blow the company. You know, now I can't blow my own money because I got kids I need to take care of. But that was a false criticism from my father because it was about his insecurities.
Right.
But what you do is you stop and you go, is this true what they're saying about me? Am I X, Y, or Z?
But where do you get that? Like, who are you questioning? Is that true about me? Who are you going to go to get a really true answer?
I mean, ask the people closest to you in your life. and then see if what they say is true. You'll see. Like, oh God, Heidi will say, you know, honey, I'm trying to think of, she's got a million criticisms for me. You know, but it's like, she'll say to me things like, you know, babe, you can be very caught up in yourself. And I'm like, no, I care about other people. And she's like, I know, honey, but it's like, you'll go to dinner and you'll get caught up in a topic of like, you know, work that only you care about, that no one cares about. And by the way, your friends will have the conversation with you five times because you're still processing the issue. And I'm like, oh, I do that.
Oh, really?
Did I stop and say, you know, like, have I stopped and really said to my friend, like, hey, how are you? You know, I get very internalized. And I play things out in my head and I think about the, you know, because I play chess in my mind all the time, business mm-hmm. chess. If I do this, should I do that? If this goes here, will that go there? And, you know, I don't stop and get out of that sometimes in the way that right. I need to. And I'm like, that is true. And it comes from, and then I look at where does it come from? And it comes from, you know, those narcissistic qualities, when we have narcissistic qualities, it's not to say you're a narcissist or I'm a full-blown narcissist, but I can have narcissistic tendencies. And it comes from that place of feeling like I was the only one I could rely on. Mm. So you kind of go inward for that. And then when you go so inward, you're not able to, you know, you stop experiencing the outside world.
God, we're complex beings.
Sure,
good
we are.
God.
But I have the self-worth to acknowledge those things and go, do I really do that? Oh, God, I do that. I see those things. Okay. And I stopped talking about a certain topic, or like, I will only allow work conversation now because they'll ask me, because they're my friends, how's it going? And I'll go, oh, it's good, blah, 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 or it's bad. Oh, this was a disaster. I'm working on it.
Right.
And then move on. How are you? What's going on with you? You know, and I can look at that. But then if somebody tells me something that I don't believe is true, I'll say, is there truth in this? Am I really doing this? Is this really about me? And then I'm like, oh, for example, people tell me I'm mean all the time. You know, oh, you're so mean, journalists. That's not true. I know in my heart that's not true.
Yeah.
I know why I do what I do. I know where it's coming from within my heart. I know what it means to me. And I know that they're not really watching. They're not really paying attention.
Right.
They're just looking for a headline. Or
yeah.
The person that goes on my Facebook, like Noreen Fendonca.
Yeah, that's right.
And is
Noreen.
Like, you're a horrible person. Noreen Fendonca.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Noreen's mommy or daddy didn't love her the right way. And Noreen is seeing, you know, she's projecting that into me.
Yeah.
So you got to look at it. Is this true? You can look at it and look inside and ask yourself if you do these things, mm-hmm. if there's truth in this. And then when you get the false criticism, it's actually a really great way of learning how to set boundaries and how to teach people how to treat you and to go, you know something? I really thought about what you said. I don't believe this is about me. I think this is more about you. And I feel like, you know, this is coming from you and something in your past. And, you know, I love you. And this is how I feel like we can coexist. If it's not, you know, if it's not good enough for you, then it comes to boundaries.
Yep.
It's about demanding respect for yourself and establishing boundaries. And it gives you a really good opportunity to do that.
Hmm.
So here's the thing. I want you to invite criticism. Here's your job for the week is go to the people most important in the key areas of your life, your boss or your coworkers.
Right.
Your significant other,
mm-hmm. siblings,
your siblings, yeah. your friends, your closest friends, your kids, your parents, and just say, hey, I'm embarking on this journey of self-exploration and personal growth. And, you know, where do you think I could be better as a mom, as a partner, as a worker? Where can I improve?
God, I've never said that to anybody.
I do it all the time. All the time. And you know what? I get better. Try it.
I will. I just, I'm trying to visualize myself having that conversation. And it's, I will try it. I will.
You can do it.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Something snappy!
I'll be right back. We'll be right back.
get a lot. People always feel like on the go they can't eat healthy. I don't really understand that. Why is that?
Because snacks are much easier to grab.
Well, yeah, but you can still grab healthy things. So, you know, I did a whole thing. There's a whole section in Slim for Life about being able to eat healthy on the run, like when you're on the go, when you're traveling, when you can't cook.
Right.
But I thought what we might do, I wanted to do a few, like, let's start with breakfast. And I thought we might, you know, throughout the shows, you know, today we'll do breakfast. Easy, quick things you can grab and go or make really fast or take with you on the run. And I very recently learned how to cook an awesome omelet. So when you can cook, I thought I would give you some tips for making a really good omelet.
Sure.
I was pretty excited about it. Okay, are you ready?
So this is breakfast. This is
on the
run.
This is breakfast, right? Like, here's what I want you guys to think about. You're on the run, okay? You're traveling or, you know, you're jamming out the door, no time. Get yourself some instant oatmeal. So, like, we do Hemp Plus. I think it's Nature's Path.
Mm-hmm.
This takes 2 seconds. All you need is hot water. So if you're going to a business meeting, right, or you have an office meeting and you know there's nothing but bagels and donuts, well, you get your little oatmeal, use the hot water from the coffee maker and make oatmeal. Or you're traveling and you're on the go and you're like at the Motel 6 and there's nothing but Danish. Well, guess what? There's a coffee maker almost always in your room. Bring the oatmeal with you. Super easy.
I never thought of that.
I know, I'm a genius. Now, when you're at home, here's another one that I always grab and jam out the door. Get yourself yogurts. Yogurts that you like. I like Oikos brand. O-I-K-O-S. It's a Greek yogurt. I do the vanilla flavor. Makes me super happy. It's like 100-something calories.
And they come in the little ones?
Yeah. It's like 110 calories. I grab that and like a banana or that and an apple or whatever. That and like a piece of fruit and I'm out the door. It takes me 2 seconds, guys. 2 seconds. Another thing. I'll get either, excuse me. An Ezekiel English muffin. And if you don't like the Ezekiel brand, because some people don't, you can get like a whole grain bagel or something like that that's not a ton of calories. We have these little, I can't remember the name of the brand, but it's these little bagels are like, again, 150 calories are like not mini size, but they're kind of medium and they're whole grain. How long does it take you to toast something? Seriously, how long? Two minutes? Toast it, slap on some almond butter, or I use Horizon low-fat cream cheese. It's not exactly a health food, but it's like, it's not going to kill you either. Slap that on either my English muffin or my little bagel. Boom, I'm out the door. I'm out the door 3 minutes, 2 minutes. Take it in the car with a little napkin, ready to go. Simple, not hard to do. Another one, cereal. Bring it with you. So I'll make these little snack size packs of cereal and it's like, you know, whole grain flakes or multi-grain flakes or whatever cereal you're into. Make the little snack size packs so they're already lined up and ready for you to grab and go. Take it with you to the office and keep milk in the fridge at the office. It's easy.
And put your name on it with a big Sharpie.
It's not hard.
Steel milk.
Now here's a recipe that's really quick that you can make super, super fast. So a parfait, right? Simple. 6 ounces of plain organic low-fat yogurt. I really want your yogurt to be organic. I'm very the dairy and the meat. You know, I feel strongly about this because I don't want those hormones in your food.
Yeah.
Fruit. All right. So could be kiwi, could be raspberries, could be blueberries, could be strawberries, could be oranges if you can't afford. Here's the cool thing about kiwi and oranges. It's got the thick skin, so it doesn't need to be organic. So you could do kiwi, oranges, bananas, any fruit you want. Throw it in there. So lately I've been doing kiwi because my Korean herb doctor told me I needed kiwis. I listened.
They're good.
The guy's a genius. I don't know. Anyway, then throw some cereal on there. So like I'll do like a high fiber flax sort of granola mixture of cereal. You throw your cereal in. By the way, cereal, 3 seconds. Boom. Yogurt, scoop it out. 30 seconds. You're in on the yogurt and the cereal in less than a minute. Cut your fruit, 1 minute. You're now 2 minutes into this. And then, of course, you can layer it with like a little bit of mint. You could put a little teeny drizzle of honey on top. I mean, it's so quick, easy. You're in for about 250 calories. That you can throw in a cup and run out the door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's another thing that I'll do is if we're talking about, let's say, all right, where can we grab and go? Where can we grab and go? You know who has the go-to stuff is Starbucks. I always, if I'm in trouble, I go to Starbucks. And they have oatmeal.
Yeah, they were smart. They definitely changed.
They got the granola parfaits.
Yeah.
Some of them, though, like it's really, here's what I've noticed. In California, the stuff they have is really clean. Like the peanut butter and their little their snack pack doesn't have high fructose corn syrup. Like it's all clean and natural. Then you'll go to like the middle of nowhere and their, you know, their yogurt will have like fruit on the bottom with high fructose corn syrup. Pick a place in your area where you know you've got grab and go stuff. Like if you don't have time to make the parfait or the oatmeal, you know they've got it.
Right.
I've gone to Starbucks before and found that in a lot of metropolitan cities, you're fairly safe. So now, okay, if you can cook, I recently learned.
Look how excited you are.
I know, because I'm a terrible chef. Like whenever I create recipes, what I'll do is I work with a chef and I say, all right, I want to replace mac and cheese, or I want to replace chili, or let's replace waffles. And these are the foods we need to use. And then the chef will create the recipe, and then I'll sample the recipe, and we might tweak a little bit and sort of move on. But I've never been a talented chef. I'm not good at it. And I recently learned how to make an omelet, and I was super excited about it. So I wanted to share it with you guys. So the first thing you want to do is you want to add a little horsepower to it. So you want to put your eggs in a blender. Did you know that?
Well, I whisk my eggs for my omelet.
No, it's better in a blender or a food processor. And you want to blend it for like maybe 3 seconds, but the idea is you want to essentially pulse it until you see large bubbles on the surface.
Really?
And you put a little teeny pinch of pepper and salt in there. Get that sucker going. Yeah. Okay. And then if you want the absolute, here's a little bonus tip for you. If you want the absolute softest, fluffiest omelet after you've blended it or food processed it, you pass it through like a little food sleeve thing. Sieve thing. The sift, you know.
Yeah.
The like meshy thing.
Yeah, like cheesecloth kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Then you pour it through there.
Why? Now,
because it just aerates it.
Really?
Yeah, it makes it fluffy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Ready? Okay, now you got to prep the pan. So it's okay to use a little olive oil and a little butter. You want to use both. A little bit. So you kind of grease the pan with the olive oil, and then you can put like a little pat of butter working into your calories. Mm-hmm. It's fine. You could also do this with egg whites. It doesn't have to be whole eggs. So if you're saving calories, I do one egg and then like 4 egg whites.
Do you ever add a little bit of you don't not into the dairy thing that much.
No.
Sometimes I add a little bit of milk.
I asked about that, though, and the guy said I didn't need it.
Okay.
And I didn't.
Okay.
So I saved calories there, too.
So you have one egg and 4 egg whites.
I do, yeah, because it's like eggs are not unhealthy. They just have 80 calories an egg, and egg white is like 16 to 18. So I do like one full egg so I get the nutrients from the egg. And then I give my volume by passing through, like putting in a bunch of egg whites. So, you know, I get 4 egg whites for like under 80 calories. So I've got my one egg, my 4 egg whites, blend that sucker up in my blender, pass it through the sieve, put it in the pan. Now in the pan, I put a little pat of butter and I grease the pan with olive oil. So I don't like the nonstick, you know, because it's can be toxic. I like an iron or a titanium pan. But here's what you do. The reason that you put the oil with the butter is because then the butter won't burn. Huh? Keeps the butter from burning. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
You know how butter burns and turns brown? This keeps it from burning.
It tastes so nice. Oh, you're right. The little bit of butter tastes very nice with your almond.
Well, but the olive oil, the blend, keeps the butter from burning.
Okay.
Now, then you got to pour it into your little pan, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't want to rush it. So you don't want to stir the eggs, and you don't want to stir it in the pan. You pour it in the pan, and you leave it on a nice low heat, and you wait 2 to 3 minutes.
Well, what about the rest of the stuff in the oven?
I'm not ready.
Well, jeez.
Then after 2 to 3 minutes, there's another big tip. Then after 2 to 3 minutes, you kind of like, again, do not stir the eggs in the pan. You pour the eggs in the pan and the butter and the olive oil.
We're talking like a low heat.
A low heat, yeah. Then you put it in and you let it simmer for 2 to 3 minutes, okay? And what you want is you want to see the eggs darken slightly along the edge of the pan.
Yes.
Okay. Then you put your fillings in and you want to leave about 1 or 2 inches of space on each side of the omelet. So it goes in the center.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Now, do not fold the omelet in half because then it cooks unevenly and it makes your toppings. It gives them an uneven distribution.
Raw.
Exactly. Okay. You know what you do? You take your spatula and you roll the omelet into thirds. So you take the left side and you fold it to the middle. Then you take the right side and you fold it to the middle.
Oh, that's interesting.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a cool
trick. You impressed? And then?
But how long after you put the fillings in? So the fillings are now cooking.
The fillings are now cooking, yeah. Okay. Then, at that point, that's when, after the fillings are in there, then you flip it over.
Okay.
Right? You fold it.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're ready to roll. And you pop it out and put it on your plate.
Now, what do you like as your fillings?
I'm into goat cheese right now.
Yeah, I love the goat
cheese. I like the goat cheese, little onion, little pepper, little tomato.
Did you put broccoli in?
No.
You don't like that kind of stuff?
I don't like the broccoli in there. I don't like raw broccoli, and it's not good for your thyroid anyway. I don't like broccoli. Mm-mm. No. Poo.
Really? But it's...
Raw broccoli, raw cruciferous vegetables are goitrogenic, bad for your thyroid.
Oh, no wonder I got a goiter the size of Arkansas.
I told you not to do that. I've said it 1,000 times.
Well, I don't know. Listen. I love broccoli. Mm-hmm. So you just put the goat cheese in? No mushrooms? No nothing? Oh,
I don't like mushrooms either. I'm not a big fungi person.
You don't like the fungi.
No, I do like a sun-dried tomato, though.
Yeah, see, that's
good. And I love some hot sauce, spicy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, when you make your food spicy, you eat less.
You do?
Mm-hmm, because you can't really, if you make it, like, really spicy... Can't really. It's like, woo! Ever had like some fiery Indian food? It's like, mother of God.
Cha-cha-cha.
Yeah.
Well, very good. So that's the segment called On the Run Breakfast.
Yeah. Well, so and Jillian's omelet.
And Jillian's omelet. So now we're going to do, at some point, we're going to do like On the Run lunch down the road.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Well, there you go. I believe this is the end of this segment then.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We are back.
Oh.
However.
Uh-huh.
However, we need to speak to the love doctor.
Hold on. Let me see if she's in.
Oh, okay.
She's here.
Okay.
I'm ready.
All right, Tim. She's all yours.
Tim, what's going on?
Not much, Jillian. I want to start off by saying thanks for all you do, you and Janice, because you've really helped me over the last 13 months be able to lose about 100 pounds. So.
Wow. Congratulations, honey. That's awesome. I know. Yeah. We're clapping.
My question for the love doctor is... About 6 months ago, I went through a divorce after being married for 11 years.
Oh, I'm sorry, sweetie.
And I'm now a single father of 4 kids.
Okay.
And in high school, I was always the big brother to a lot of the females.
Okay.
And I'm trying to avoid that this time around.
Right. Okay. And when you say big brother, meaning like you were the best friend and then they would like talk to you about boy problems.
Yes, and about how horrible the guys were that treated them.
Right.
You know, that we're in their lives, so.
Right. Okay. Well, here's the thing. It's a pattern that you facilitated. So I have a pretty good idea about why you may have done it, but why do you think you fell into that role?
I honestly think it was a fear of rejection. I fought that a lot throughout my life as far as not taking chances in jobs or not taking chances with different things, but just because I was afraid to fail.
Right. And so you thought that if you didn't ask them out or let them know that you were interested, then, of course, you couldn't get rejected. But you still engaged. So it's not, you know, we can say, all right, I didn't ask them out because I was afraid of getting rejected. And yet you still engaged with them, but in a different capacity. Why do you think you engaged in that capacity?
Not really sure. Maybe just to be around them because I was wanting to be in that circle or something, but I'm not 100% sure.
When I find people do this, and women do this in a different way, not romantically, but they feel like they need to be everybody's everything. And you know who else actually does this? Jake, you do this. Jake and I we've talked about this before on the show, where Jake feels like he goes in and he's their best friend and he's their best day and he's their best buddy. And a lot of times it can come from, there's two separate things. So the way this sort of works is I throw out to you what is coming up for me and it either resonates with you or it doesn't. And we kind of keep going. So my first question is, Do you think you do this because that's how you have value and that's the only value you can add? Because you told me you've lost 100 pounds. You say you were their big brother. So, you know, I almost think of big as like a literal term, as like you were the bigger guy. You were their big brother. Do you think that that was where your value was of like, well, I may not be the attractive guy or I may not be the stud, but I can be their big brother. And that's the value I have to them.
Yeah, that fits because I see that I see myself doing that a lot in different capacities.
Okay, then, honey, here's the problem: you feel that that's your source of value, so the first thing you do is you throw it out there because you're like, well, this is my win, this is my dunk shot, you know, this is my master move. I'm the good guy. I'm the hero. I'm your best day. I'm your best bud. This is what I know works. This is what I know I'm good at. Let me put that out there. Instead of thinking like, hey, I'm a sexy guy. I'm a hot guy. I'm the man in this relationship. I get the door, you know, or whatever men do. Not to be sort of traditional, but I find that like a lot of women really miss a man, the guy that makes the plans, the guy that calls the shots. And I've got a lot of straight female friends, and I hear this all the time. And another thing I hear from women a lot is that it's very Beyonce. I don't know if you know that song, If I Was a Boy. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that song? Like, she sings the whole bloody song telling men, like, here's how you be a man. Be a man. And the whole song is like her telling men, you know, if I was a boy, I would do this and I would do that. And I think, sweetie, I want you to look at, like, what does it mean not to be the big brother, but to be the man? To be the man in that relationship. What does it mean to you? What kind of man do you want to be in that relationship? Not the big brother. Not the good guy and lean on my shoulder and hold on. Oh, you've had a bad day. Let me bring you flowers and cry on my shoulder about the a-hole that you're not dating. You know, so it's part of it is that. So I want you to really think about that. Who you want to be in this relationship. Not big brother, but like, who is this new guy and what does he look like in the context of the relationship? And I need you to start believing that that guy's there. I need you to believe that you are the man, that you've got the situation under control, that you are able to be sexy and attractive and masculine and strong without being soft and friendly and sweet and cuddly and non-threatening. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
I need you to get in touch with that side of yourself. So that you believe in it, you buy into it, you know it exists, and you know that you have value as that person. And you'll be more comfortable being that person. And so I need you to think about what it looks like so that you can be it when the opportunity comes up. On the same note, there was a second thought about this, damn it. On the same note, and I don't know, I'm not really getting this so much from you, but I could be wrong. Another reason this can come up a lot is because, and this is something that Jake was going through, is he was attracting women that weren't really gettable. They had issues. They, you know, it was like they wanted the guy that didn't want them. And so it becomes a situation of like you kind of go after the person that's not interested in you because you're playing out this pattern of, am I good enough now to win that person over? Does that, any of that resonate?
Not so much, honestly. Okay. The only serious relationship I had was with my ex-wife.
Gotcha.
So I didn't even date a lot. And it was more the, you know, I was the good guy and that's the role I played.
Right. I got it. Okay. So then that's actually a very good thing because at least you're not repeating a pattern where you're attracting the unavailable woman. And that's your catharsis of like, I'm going to get this woman this time. I'm going to win her over because that's the worst thing to break. So it's going to be, let's put that aside then, which is great. I just wanted to check and see because sometimes that can be part of the issue. So this really is about your self-worth, honey, and it's really about you redefining your self-image. So let's just work on it a little bit. Tell me, what kind of man are you in your next relationship? Who do you want to be? Put the teddy bear aside. Who do you want to be?
I honestly don't know because I've been on a mission of self-discovery these last 6 months of figuring out who I am.
Yeah.
and what kind of person I am. And
a divorce will do that to you.
So I'm you know, I want to be obviously the good father and the leader for my kids, but a lot of what I define myself as is based on my religion, my belief in Jesus, and
okay.
Trying to adhere to those standards, but also not be so kind and that I get walked over.
But sweetheart, you can believe in Jesus and God and be a good. I'm not quite, so forgive me, I'm not the smartest when it comes to religion, so Catholic or Christian or whatever it might be. But with that said, you can still do all those things while simultaneously being the man you want to be in your relationship. And if there's a conflict, like if you think, well, the good man doesn't kiss the girl on the first date, or the good man isn't the sexy man, or I disagree. I don't think there's anything in the Bible that says you can't be a tiger in the bedroom. Is there?
No, there's not. Actually,
okay. I don't know. I started watching the special on the History Channel. Haven't seen that come up yet. That's not in there, you know. So I'm just saying, I feel like, you know, I don't think that should be a conflict for you in any way. And I often joke because I hear, you know, my friends complain about this, and I kind of look at my business partner, who is sort of the man in that way. He's like the man in my life. And I look at the qualities that he brings to the table and what I enjoy about that energy. And you just kind of feel around him like he's got the situation under control. He knows what he wants. He's direct. He's a straight shooter. Like he doesn't make apologies, but he's a good person and he takes care of people. Like there's that balance. And for you, here's the thing, honey, until you know what that man looks like, how are you going to put him out there in the world?
Right.
And that's your core problem here. And then I think you do know what he looks like, but I think for you to bring up Jesus, it makes me wonder if you think there are parts of that man that aren't good or that you think are less than, gosh, I can't, I've had a lack for my vocabulary today. I don't know, but, geez.
I think my issue is I want to be that perfect person. Anything below that I have issue with, and I have to learn to accept that I'm not going to be perfect.
Who is?
Yeah, exactly.
Name a human that's perfect.
It's not.
Then what in the world makes you think that out of the 7 billion people on this planet, you can fix that problem?
I don't know. It's a desire to have that goal, but I don't know why. And that's part of the issue I think I've had is, you know, unless it's perfect, I don't go for it.
But, sweetie, that once again, we come back to self-worth of
yep.
you feeling like if it's not perfect, you don't want anybody to see the flaws. You don't want anybody to see that you don't have it, you know, you don't have it all together, or you're not able to do X, Y, or Z, because then you won't have value. So again, it always comes back to your fear of not having value. So, this is the winner for me. This is where I know I excel. I'm the big brother. I win. I have value here. But if I'm not perfect in these spaces, I won't have value. If I'm not, whatever I'm expected to be, I don't have value. So what I want you to think, you say that. Janice just wrote something for me to say to you.
Well,
you say it.
No, I believe Leonard Cohen said it. He says there has to be cracks for the light to come in.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so beautiful because we are so afraid to have the flaws. But if we're not flawed, how can the light come in to heal that and make
and
us
to
a,
learn yeah. a better person? Exactly. That's so well put. I love that. Thank you, Janice. And honey, try again. I want to just make a little headway with this right now. Just a little. Try one more time. In this relationship, right? And we want to imagine it. We want to visualize it. We want to think about the partner that you want and the partner you want to be. Okay? The partner that you want to be in this relationship with you that you want. With the kind of woman that you want, give me three qualities that, not the teddy bear, but like the tiger, you know? Let's get rid of teddy bear. Let's switch to tiger. What qualities does that guy have?
Well, the the straight shooter, and the drive and determination, which I've kind of shown that I have that in me with the weight loss and the pursuit of that.
Right.
But I just need to facilitate that in other areas of my life.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm a big big believer in chivalry. So I guess that would be the other quality I'd go for.
Chivalry's hot. We love chivalry. Love a man that gets the door. I'm sorry. I know it's old-fashioned. I love a man that gets the door. I love a man that, like, watches the door of the restaurant. I love a guy that sits on the aisle and the plane. Like, I just, I love that. I think it's really, I think it's a very attractive quality. And when I was dating men, it was, like, something that I really enjoyed about that. So anyway, with that said, I think those are all beautiful qualities. I have one question. When it comes to sort of that go-getter, the guy that asks for what he wants, do you have any shame about that, or do you think that that's not okay?
I think it's okay as long as it's tactfully done.
What does that mean?
As long as you're not just being a jerk about the way what you're asking for, as long as you you can do it in the right context, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Here's my rule about this. If you're not hurting somebody else or yourself in the pursuit of your own happiness, go for it. And I mean in a malicious way. Like, if you got a job and somebody else didn't get it, you could say, well, they got hurt. Okay, that's not your fault. If you're not maliciously attacking or hurting or sabotaging somebody, you're free to go. Go. I'm taking off the chains. Go and take what you want and live this life that you dream of and, you know, have what you want to have. And the one rule I'm giving you, and I think this is a very to do unto others. That's it.
Yep. That's
it, sweetie.
Just kidding, everybody.
Do unto others. And I want you to really think more about a little bit more about who you want to evolve into in that role, who you want to have come into your life as your partner, what the relationship looks like, so that as you begin to crystallize that vision, you practice those behaviors in other aspects of your life as you've practiced it with your weight loss, and then you begin to try it as you're dating and put it out there and see the response. And here's the thing I'm going to tell you right now, that if you exude the personality, the attitude, the actions, the behaviors of the man you want to be, and it is not received well, move on.
Yeah, that's the other.
Move on. Don't go back to Teddy Bear. Move on. It's not the partner for you, and that's okay, honey. We all kiss a lot of frogs. God knows. I have a whole aquarium full in my you know, rear view window, terrarium, whatever the hell. But I'm saying right now, it's like you move on and you keep going. And in this aspect, this is where you don't compromise. In the ability to be the man that you want to be, this is where you don't compromise. So that teddy bear, I need him on the back burner. And I want you to start exploring these different attitudes and this different man, transcending from your health into your profession, into your personal relationships, and as you begin to start dating. But you got to know who you're going to show up as before you do, or you're going to revert back to what you know and what's been safe and what's been a winning combo for you, even though it's not making you happy.
I like that. Yes, I will do that.
Try it out, and then we want to hear back and know how it goes.
You will, and if things go well, I'll have to send you guys an invite to the wedding.
We would love that.
Yay!
When things go well.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jake.
When things go well.
Okay, we got to say goodbye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.